Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday in the United States, but it's already Saturday, 10 a.m. here in New Zealand. For those of you, the small amount of listeners who continue to tune in on this, their favoured Saturday morning, welcome, good morning, and thank you very much from Baralocha. My very special guest today, as was customary on a Friday, are the most discriminated couples in the Truth Movement. First hour here, we have the fabulous Swerdlows. That's Stuart and Janet Swerdlow, the very famous and fabulous and very widely acclaimed, apparently, type people. And also, because of very controversial viewpoints that they have, telling their own truth, as it were, and this happens to all of us to a certain degree, they've become what I've dubbed one of the two most discriminated couples in the Truth Movement. The other will be coming up in the second hour, and I've decided to turn it into a Bob Dylan type of fest here. You know, we have the song, The Times They Are Changing, but in the second hour's case, I was thinking, we tell the story of the horror cane, oh yeah, for something that he never done, because that was a terrible impression, I'm sorry. You get the idea. Janet, Stuart, are you on the line with us? Not sure if we can hear you guys. No, definitely can't hear them. We're going to have to reconnect them or something of that nature. Yep. Yeah, guys, really can't hear you. So we'll reconnect them. Unfortunate. Onto the stories of the day. Turns out, as I mentioned on the show a couple of days ago, that our Prime Minister, John Key, may be going to Bohemian Grove. Stuart, are you there? Still not hearing you at all. You guys must have your microphone muted or your Skype preferences in the wrong working order or something. But yeah, hopefully you'll be able to put us on a number to dial you in here if you have a phone number in your room there. We can probably connect you across the phones. But in the meantime, there was also this other story about psychopaths coming out in the media. There's, I think, maybe half a dozen people or something have contacted me specifically about psychopaths. And one person who I met for the first time referred to me, I'm not sure what his name is, Stephen Eigel or whatever. I have no idea. But he's a self-confessed narcissist, and he's apparently on YouTube talking about how a narcissist thinks about the world as a narcissist. And he slags them off. He really hates them. And, you know, I don't understand I don't understand why that would be so controversial. A narcissist hating another narcissist. Don't they hate everybody? But to come out and openly admit that, yes, I have no feelings. Yes, I don't care about humanity. Yes, the only thing that motivates me is myself. Those kind of people wind up hurting other people. If you have experiences like this in the Truth Movement, which you undoubtedly will, and I probably will later on today when I attend the chemtrail protest in Auckland today at 2 p.m. sharp, Aotea Square, Queen Street in Auckland. If you're listening to this live, get down there and we'll chuck you a copy of What in the World Are They Spraying? We made copies of a DVD that Jeb Griffin sent me, so I thought that was pretty cool. And I've also been donated more stuff. Stuart, I'm not sure if you can hear me or if you can speak, but at any old time, you know, just feel free to chime in. But in the meantime, donations, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce a few and give recognition to a few anonymous ones, fairly large anonymous donations. Last week on the show, Stuart made a call to the listeners, appealing to them to buy me a new iMac. From where I broadcast right now, I am staring directly at that new iMac that still has the plastic wrapping on the screen. Somebody saw fit to support me so that I could make more stuff for people to watch. As a result of getting this one piece of equipment, a few very interesting things are going to happen. Firstly, there's going to be a new episode of Mr. News. For those of you who haven't seen the existing episodes of Mr. News, email me, I'll send you the private links. I've decided that I'm going to release them on DVD and design all the labels up and whatnot. That would be great, collector's editions and whatnot. Send them out to the subscribers. And quite frankly, just the ability to make another TV show, because my computer currently just didn't have the processing power to do what I needed it to do, is just such a remarkable feeling. Because I've been working for 3 years covering protests, interviewing activists, ambushing those political scum, all those actors and other people who lend their big names to all these causes and stuff like that and try and call them on some of the BS that they've been spitting. And basically been living hand to mouth that whole time. And for somebody to do this to me, based upon, admittedly, only listening to one of my shows and not even listening the whole show. He said, mate, this guy's freaking awesome. I'll get him one. Do you have any idea how that makes me feel? How to make you feel that you've really worked real hard and somebody can just recognize that straight off the bat? You know, it's kind of humbling. And it's almost like I don't know what to say. Because the thing is, often when people contact me, they know more about me than I do about them. You know, even if they'd listened to like 20 minutes of a show, they've already known more about me than I do about them. So I've got to, you know, ask, you know, what is it about you? Oh, we're hearing from Stuart now that he can hear me. Stuart, can you speak up? Okay, we have the cell phone number there, so we will be able to call them up right now, or depends when we get a response from the Austin launch room. Austin, we have a problem. Speaking of spaced men, Tony Blair, the ridiculously sinister, disgusting, lying, filthy, pompous twat, limey bastard Tony Blair, is daring to set foot in Auckland. Oh boy. I've been donated a megaphone too, and I'm going to use it. Yep. The guy has the nerve to charge like, oh, freaking heck, I don't know what it was. I think it might have been like $100 a seat, or $150, or it might have even been $1,000, and you get a seat up close to him, and he's speaking, and you get to meet him, and you get to have your little photo taken, like you're in Disneyland. But personally, I would relish the opportunity to be there. To be there in person with him. But the photo that they take of me and Tony Blair would be very, very hilarious indeed. Number one, I'm probably 2 feet taller than him. You know, I'm 6'4". He's only what? Doesn't matter. I tower over frickin' everybody. It's out of proportion. You know, I just wasn't built for this world. You mean you're trying to get through low ceilings and small Japanese cars, things of that rudimentary nature that would ordinarily be perfectly fine for the average person. Speaking of perfectly fine, my fabulous guests have arrived, Janet and Stuart via cell phone.
Hello there, Vinny. We're trying. Can you hear us over this?
I can hear you just fine, and it's a blessed relief.
Yes, we don't know what happened. Our computer seems to be okay, and we can hear you fine.
Yeah, well, let's sort out the technical issues possibly over the break. But in the meantime, what is your most recent tour? Have you got any books in the works or things of that nature?
Well, we always have a lot of things in the works. And actually, coming up the end, well, actually middle of August, is our conference, our seminar on survival techniques.
Survival mind, where the people have to actually get in there and use their mind, because it doesn't matter how many outer tools you have if your mind isn't focused where it needs to be. And with all the earth changes that are coming up and personal changes that are happening in the world and kind of being bounced about in general, people really need to be focused and connected to that very deepest part of themselves, so that no matter what happens, that they do know within themselves that they can survive anything.
It's a mindset, isn't it? Because there's a movie called, Bringing Out the Dead with Nicolas Cage, where he's an ambulance driver in New York City, the late shift, and that kind of thing. The people that survive on the way to the hospital are the ones that keep their eyes open, keep looking at you, and keep thinking.
Well, you know, that's right, part of life. You know, people are not just survivors, but surpassers. And first of all, you've got to get to survival. And once you know you're going to make it, then you get to the other side. And so often, people just give up. And that, of course, like we've talked about, you know, a billion times, that's what's being beamed into people, is to give up. And, you know, as you know, we don't give up, you don't give up. And we keep on going, and we want everybody out there to know how truly powerful that they are, and that it is the mind that is what is most important above all else.
Well, the body cannot live without the mind, as it says in The Matrix.
Very true. And, you know, the other thing is people are worried. You know, what if they take away my vitamins? What if they take away my supplements? What if I lose my house? What if I lose my job? You know, it goes on and on.
They're already gonna. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, fear-based out there, and so we want to change that. You know, we want to help people get out there and recognize that they got to get out of this fear-based mind pattern that they're in. Otherwise, they're not going to make it, and we want people to get out there and make it and prove that, you know, they may be being attacked by the enemy, but so what? You know, that's just going to make them stronger and more determined. It's not to do what the enemy wants.
Well, would I be able to put some criticism on you guys from one of your detractors that has sent me an email?
Oh,
so you can respond.
You know,
don't
go for it.
Okay. This particular person doesn't use Skype, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, or any other things. Just emails. Okay, he's made that very commitment. You know, and I've used absolutely every single one of those things, and currently use most of them to good effect today. And he says, I finally want to know what the Swerdlows are all about. And it's the remember that photo I sent you, Stuart, about those domes on Venus?
Yes.
Yeah. So same person sent me that photo. He says this reptilian thing makes me crazy. I want to know if they are an actuality. Don't you want to know the truth about it? And if not, why doesn't it matter to you? And this was addressed to me. And I've sent the listener my personal response, and I'll leave that for off the air. But I'd like to know your response, as Stuart and Janet, if you could.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it is an actuality, and of course, I cannot make anyone believe what I believe. I can only tell them what I know, and they can accept or reject as they see fit. But if people go out and do their own research and look at true history and look at ancient civilizations, every single one of them spoke about the reptilian presence and even depicted them in their artwork and in their writings. And so that they can find out for themselves. And, of course, as I always say, you know, if you want proof about the reptilian genetics within humanity, just look at how the baby gestates in the womb, and you'll see that for the first few weeks it's an androgynous, reptilian-like creature, and then the mammalian and human characteristics come on afterwards because it goes in the order in which the genetics were put into the body. So from my point of view, there's absolute evidence of the reptilian presence on the planet, and of course I believe that in the very near future, that is going to be revealed, of course, in a different way by the powers that be, and it will be ultimately accepted planet-wide.
And we'll be right back after the break.
Gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man. Expand the military industrial complex. Annex or install you with chemical objects. Vex the psyop attacking your conscience. Next, your brain agrees with the offense. Political correctness. People are afraid to speak what they feel instead of what they made. I don't see black and white. I see a reason to debate. Cause right about now, a lot of lands are betrayed. A slave to the system. We need to break free. We need to burn down the Fed facility. We need to stand up and fight for the liberty. But puppet president, we need a visionary. Society is brainwashed by the distractions. Don't give a damn about the government's action. Rather look the right way. Rather dream of a mansion. You a lamb to the slaughter for supporting the faction. Wake up, wake up, and preach like a pastor. Teach the youth that the president's an actor. Controlled by your master, a shadow in the mist. Of a conspiracy theory, cause these cats do exist.
Hey bro, are you there? And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com. Something tells me that we're entering into a kind of nasty era. I mean, do you feel that, guys? You know, that there's sort of like this nastiness rising, but there's also a whole lot of goodness rising as well.
Well,
like everything's getting better and worse at the same time.
Well, for example, what happened here in New York this past week was a little 8-year-old boy walking home from school, got lost and asked the man for directions to meet his mother. And the man kidnapped him, tied him up in his house, then suffocated him and chopped him up into pieces and put him in the freezer. And so that was just an unbelievable story to hear about why anyone would do that. There's no explanation about why that happened. And it all occurred in Brooklyn in an ultra-Orthodox neighborhood. And the murderer was also an Orthodox Jewish man. So these kind of things are absolutely unheard of here.
Have you thought that there is like this sort of raging psychosis underlining America? Because let's say, for example, if you cut off supply of all antidepressants tomorrow, what would happen?
Huh.
It'd be freaking
a lot of
anarchy.
Well, you know what? It might make better if they didn't have that, because a lot of it is people don't want to face it. And, you know, I think a lot of things that are happening right now, what's being stirred up, is that people have to make choices and decisions. And anytime we have to face ourselves, whether it's positive or negative, it's very frightening. You know, people want to keep things in the status quo, and they don't want to move unless they're pushed. I have found that over and over and over and over again. And so for people to be proactive, which is what I teach, for people to be proactive is extremely scary. And so they are, their buttons are being pushed, and it's their opportunity to surpass. And a lot of people are making that choice. They're frightened, and so they go to what they know. And unfortunately, what they know is what somebody else tells them to do. And we've got to get out of that.
Is that because everybody's, like, following orders, right? Like, have you ever heard of the artist Banksy? He's quite notorious, as it turns out. He says the worst atrocities that have ever been committed in history have been committed by people who just keep following orders. So if everybody just stopped following orders, there wouldn't be any more atrocities.
That's a very good point. You know, that was, of course, the main German explanation when they asked the soldiers in World War II why they carried out the orders from the superiors. They said, well, we just have to follow our orders. And that's really part of mind control, isn't it? Where you're getting a trigger or an activation, and you must perform the function no matter what.
Or they throw you out. And, of course, people don't want to be thrown out of the group. So, therefore, they continue to perform and follow those orders regardless of how heinous they may be.
Absolutely. And you don't get a Scooby snack if you don't do it.
Well, that's right. That's right. And you follow your orders, and you have a nice, quiet little life, and nobody bothers you.
It's rough to be ostracized from the group, and when you don't follow orders regardless, then you're ostracized, and people cannot take that. They want to be, well, they've already been mind-controlled to the point where they want the little biscuit, as you put it, and if they don't get the biscuit, they just cannot cope. And thus, of course, like you mentioned, we have all these nice antidepressants out there that, again, numb and dull the minds, and people can't think for themselves, and therefore they do what is told them. In fact, I had an interesting conversation with a young woman not too long ago, and she was telling me that she believes that the younger generation really are not even aware of their own intuitive abilities because they have been bombarded so much with microwave and ELF that they've never had that chance to really get that gut feeling of their own. So they don't even know what's coming in. Is it in my thoughts? Is it satellite thoughts? You know, where are these thoughts coming from? They don't know what intuition is. They don't know what their gut feelings are anymore. They're separated from that. And I thought that was kind of an interesting observation.
I suppose, like, you can make interesting observations on virtually everything you like, but my kind of take on is that if you want to know the truth about anything, particularly if it's the truth about yourself, it has to really be of consequence to you in order to motivate you. You know, I don't research into things flippantly. And, there has to be a reason for it. Or I could have accidentally stumbled across it.
Yeah, I think that's most people. They have to have a reason to do their research. And, you know, a lot of ways that people find us, more than anything else, believe it or not, is their health. Because if their health is not good, then they're in pain, they're looking for answers. And that's really how most people find us, is when they're researching their health because they're hurting. And, of course, we teach to be proactive on all fronts, but it's easier said than done for most people because they're just trying to make a living and, you know, keep the bills paid and get from point A to point B.
Well, I say we need to skip ahead and start going to point C, you know? Let's think outside of the AB paradigm. And if C sucks, which it probably will, let's think about plan D.
Yeah.
You know, keep coming up with new plans every day. Because as far as I'm concerned, life is a temporary thing at best. So what plan do you think is going to survive the test of time? I believe Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War, had a saying, no battle plan has ever survived a battle.
That's true. I like that a lot. And that's true with everybody, because what you think is going to happen usually isn't, and what does happen doesn't happen in the way you think it's going to, that you thought that it was going to happen. So I think that's pretty darn good.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that you can do. I mean, and again, another movie reference time, Kung Fu Panda. If you wanted to plant a peach, you can choose where you plant the seed. But doesn't matter how hard you try, that tree will give you a peach. You may wish for an orange or an apple, but a peach you will be. And you can have to let go of the illusion of control.
You know, that's because what you put in is what you get out. And most people aren't aware on how to work the energies properly in their own mind patterns on what to put in there, what to remove. So they just take whatever they get. And unfortunately, a lot of that is artificially installed, and they get the artificial results in their life.
I think I don't deal with a lot of things, though, Stuart. You know, I project heaps. It's half the reason why I do this radio show, so I can give a whole bunch of plug play to other people's worries and whatnot, so it kind of dwarfs my own.
Well, for example, here in the United States, people think they know what they want out of life because society or the government tells them what they want out of life. And so they don't use their own minds to figure out what they really should have or what lessons they really should create in their own lives. They use what they're told to put in. And so, you know, junk in, junk out. And that's why people are struggling the way they are. They're not allowing the higher part of themselves to determine what their life should be.
I kind of feel like a slave to the system still, right? Because we're still paying taxes. We're still paying all that extra stuff on gas and GST and all of this other stuff, right? There's all of these enslavement control mechanisms. I mean, we all pay business tax or of some description, don't we? So some people have kind of drawn a line in the sand. They're like, no, we're not going to participate in that whatsoever. And my argument is that I've got too much on my plate to try and free myself. I'm trying to free as many people as I can here.
Well, you know, you have to start with yourself. You know, and make yourself an example to others so that they learn the formula and do it themselves. That's been my experience. You know, I tell people what I know, and of course you get attacked for that and all kinds of, you know, things can come back, but it's their choice. You know, people can react in fear, they can react in anger, or they can try something and see if it works for them. But I think that a lot of people out there are so afraid to try something new that they attack the messenger so that they're actually cutting off a possibility for themselves that could be beneficial.
And also, Vinny, like you're talking about, look what you are doing. And really, you are liberating yourself. Yes, in the meantime, you're helping a lot of people, and you're bringing a lot of things to the forefront for them to think about. But ultimately, you are freeing yourself. You are saying what you think. You're talking about what you believe in, and you're pointing things out to people that otherwise they wouldn't see, and that really is your own opportunity for growth, and you're doing it. I mean, the show is amazing. You're really getting out there. Your information is there. You're talking about things nobody else is talking about, which means you are addressing it within yourself. And as Stuart says, you truly are freeing yourself first. And by doing that, you are freeing, you know, global audience out there, so many more people, because of your own personal inner work. If you weren't a strong person, you couldn't do what you're doing.
Well, you know, I wasn't debating that I'm a strong person. You know, I've been through immense amounts of suffering. And, you know, look, get this. If you do outbound cold calling, doing telesales, and you can last for more than a month or two, you know, you're pretty hard-nosed. I lasted almost 18 months, and there's any abuse that anybody can throw at me. Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this show and you're one of those polar opposite reaction responses of deprogramming maltoplasm, and you want to email in some abuse, by all means, send it forth. producer@thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And we'll read, and I'll read them, and I'll have a laugh, because believe me, I've heard it all. There was one time when a guy actually had a good 30-second, and I thought it almost sounded well-rehearsed, abusive commentary about how bad telesalesmen people were. And after he finished it, he says, do you read me? And I say, well, no, I didn't quite catch that. And then I put him on speakerphone, and then I let the whole office hear him.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Because this is the thing. Anybody who resorts to full-on abusively attacking people has absolutely no credibility, and they expose themselves instantly as having no credibility. I never claimed to have any.
I think you're absolutely right. Because if they spent that much energy on themselves, they might get somewhere.
Why would you want to find out somebody was an agent of Israel when you could just find out whether or not you're a douchebag?
Very true.
You know, I would think that's a far more important and consequence to your own life.
Yeah, but you see, that's just it. Nobody wants to look in the mirror. It's very easy to throw rocks at other people.
Well, and you shouldn't throw rocks when you're standing in the glass house.
Very true. Very true.
I suppose when it comes down to it, people have just lost responsibility and accountability for their own actions. And is this any surprise when you have a look at all of their role models all throughout the media, all these politicians, all these celebrities and sleeping around and divorces left, right, and center, dishonesty, going to jail, and drunk driving, and all of this sort of stuff all over the place. Why is it any surprise that people are acting exactly like all the people that they're watching on TV? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guests for the Going Ape and the Hurricane Fridays is the Swerd Lowe's. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Gentlemen. Oh, yes. Welcome back to another Friday edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Going Ape, that's Attention Planet Earth with the Swerd Lowe's. Getting the down low with the Swerd Lowe's. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Hi there.
One thing I'd love to kind of postulate on you, if I may, do you think perhaps that people who engage in strange things during their lives, for example, your experience in the Montauk Project or your experience with spirits and auras and a lot of the strange things that you've gone through, and of course, strange things that I've gone through myself, that you kind of... you no longer resonate with people on this on the same wavelength. Do you know what I mean? And kind of you do sort of go a little bit mad in a certain respect.
Well, I don't know about going mad about it, but yeah, when you operate on a different level, it's sometimes a bit interesting interacting with people who have no clue about what you do or how you do it. And, of course, you know, a majority of the people out there are very conventional. They don't accept the alternative possibilities out there or how to open up the 90% of the brain that isn't used or the 97% of the DNA that isn't used. They have no concept of that. Those are the people that don't believe that Osama bin Laden was dumped in the ocean and they believe 9/11 was a plot against the United States and all that kind of thing. So you can't impose what you know on others. It really must come from within them. And it's my belief that in the not-too-distant future, there will be events on the Earth, both man-made and not man-made, that will perhaps make people realize that there's more out there than they previously accepted. And so that's what I'm looking forward to when people say, yeah, I think we need to do something else here and go a different route instead of where we have been going. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay, okay. Well, I mean, I suppose it's healthy to look forward to the future, but me personally, I think that all the future events, the obvious ones, well, you know, they're inescapable. There's going to be a food crisis. There's going to be an economic crisis. There's going to be a lot of deformed children from the radiation. There's going to be a huge increase in cancer. And there's already a huge increase in police state with body scanners and goodness knows what else. The internet's being clamped down on TV. I mean, it's stark and pretty obvious to anybody who understands the New World Order or geopolitics to some degree that this whole thing is coming to a head. And Bob Chapman firmly believes that the only way that the US can get out of this massive freaking debt crisis situation is to have an accelerated war and possibly full-blown into World War III. And it seems plausible that the last time that they wanted to form the League of Nations, they siphoned off the Great War. Then they wanted to get the United Nations underway, and so they had the World War II. And so now they want to establish the One World Order once and for all. Well, the once-and-for-all world order, I think that should be called, because that's what it's going to be for human life and sovereignty, any kind of respect for the human condition. It's going to be gone once and for all. And my thoughts is that that's the reality that people need to be focusing on. And all the rest, while very interesting and certainly worth thinking about and looking into, is ultimately of little consequence in the practical situation, because whether or not there are reptilians around doesn't affect whether I've got stored food in my garage and weapons to protect it and stored monetary commodities like gold and silver, does it? You know, because I've got to survive in the real world, and I can think about anything that I want conveniently because we've got access to information now. And that makes you know the reason why you need all those things, usually.
I just want to kind of say this kind of comes full circle what we kind of opened with, because, you know, you're talking about the monetary stores and the food stores and all those things. Well, you know, if you're in crisis, believe it or not, toilet paper is going to be worth more than the gold you've got stored somewhere, because they're going to want that over the gold that you cannot eat or use. And as far as food, let's say you've got food stored and your house gets wiped out, or the kids down the block are hungry, or you know, a storm, you know, the troops come through and they take it, you know, you're still depending on the outer to take care of you. And it's really important to have that self-respect and know who and what you are so that your mind brings to you what you need in the moment. So, and you also talked about earlier that the, what you think is going to happen doesn't, and it doesn't happen in the way you think it's going to happen. So you can prepare in those kind of ways, and you might have a sense of security or false security, depending upon the foundation that you're built upon. So you really can't depend on that either. You know, it sounds good, and people can talk about it, you know, till kingdom come. Doesn't mean it's going to happen that way.
Well, you know, and I suppose in order to sell more products, you should say, but don't take the chance, be prepared. Kind of like global warming gets sold to people, don't you think?
Well, you know, I don't know if that's if I agree with that exactly. You know, it is really within everybody. You know, they don't have to buy anything. And if they would just recognize they don't have to buy anything, they really wouldn't have to buy anything. You know, what we do on our work is we say, okay, here it is. If you can't figure it out for yourself, this is what we figured out. We'll share it with you. But if you can go on your own, go on your own. Because ultimately, that's what it's about, like you talked about. It's about liberating the individual. So, you know, when we still say don't copy us, we still say, here, this is what we know. Use it, dump it, use it to springboard yourself. But don't copy us. You're your own unique individual.
I suppose when it's apparent to somebody that they're inadequate, right? When they think to themselves, man, I'm 40 years old and I've done nothing with my life. I'm a dead-end job. I'm still up to my eyeballs in debt. Kids don't care about me. And everything's just getting harder and harder. I'm getting sicker. I'm getting more tired. When's all this going to let up? And I know a lot of people like that. And the only reason why everything in their life is precisely the way it is because everybody ends up exactly where they deserve to be. You can make a change of mind. Now, bear in mind, this has got provisos. For example, if you are born to somebody in Africa in some village out in the middle of nothing, you can't just choose to go down the road and get an iPhone. Okay, so, but bear in mind, you can choose to try and get yourself a cow, to try and get yourself a goat, to try and plant some crops. Okay, it doesn't matter what situation you're in. If you're a creative person who has strength, honor, and dignity, you can work for a living and make some good progress. The thing is, a lot of people don't realize that in order to make any progress, it's them that has to progress. Okay? It's not something else. It's actually them that makes it happen. Nobody else takes responsibility. And some people call me up, guys, and they'll go out and they'll do things that they've never done before after a conversation with me, and they feel really proud of themselves, and they thank me for inspiring them. And I say, no, man, don't thank me. There's billions of other people on this earth, and nobody else did what you just did. Okay? Nobody else. That was you. All you.
I happen to agree with exactly what you're saying. You know, Stuart and I've been there, and that's what people forget a lot of times when they see the website and the books and the DVDs and all those kind of things, and they go, wow, you know, look at them. They forget, and then we tell them, you know, we started out with nothing. And we talk about that in Montauk Alien Connection, you know, the struggles that we had and what we've had to overcome. And we continue that in our Blue Blood book, what we have overcome. And so, you know, we had a small, tiny little room, you know, the size of a bathroom with a baby in it, no less. And we had nothing. And we couldn't publish our first books. We couldn't afford it. So somebody else actually has the rights to our first two books. And so we, you know, we scratched, Stuart did many jobs all at the same time. I did jobs. I raised the children. You know, so people who give us these stories about they're stuck and they can't move, you know what, then that's what you're expecting. we never accepted that, and we had a lot of struggles and pain. We write about it. We tell everybody, you know, the most horrible things that happened to us. We have no pride or shame left, and we put it out there, and we said, look, hey, we did it. We're doing it, and everybody can. And that's when people go, oh, you know, they're different. They put us in a different class or you in a different class. And it's just like what you said. It's them that has to do it. It's the individual that's got to get that inner motivation that knows that no matter what wall there is a door. You got to find it. And it's there for you. And if no door opens, you're not pushing on the correct door.
And you do have to take responsibility. You can't blame anyone else.
Take some responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Stuart and Janet Swerdlow, for taking responsibility for your part in the story that we call history. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can check out Janet and Stuart's other works at expansions.com, and you can listen to more of the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. We'll be right back after the break. Right on through to the other side of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the basic fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Only broadcasting live from frickin' New Zealand, of all godforsaken places. Queen-forsaken places, Rothschild-forsaken places. Oh, no, wait, wait, no, no, no. They haven't forsaken us at all. They've just taken us. Oh, the theft and skullduggery and scumbaggery. I kind of think about scumbaggery and skullduggery quite a bit, actually. In fact, it seems to be part of my my general repertoire. Evil people, nasty people, bad people, irrational people, nuts people. Basically, just anybody who's fits in the category of just behaves really unpleasantly towards you. You know, and it doesn't matter what their information is or whatever, you know, as far as I'm concerned, no information is offensive. Some of it hurts to hear, of course, but in terms of getting offended and getting angry at the messenger, no. But, you know, the nastiness. Come on. The whole reason of why being an adult is great is you don't have to sit with the other kids in school who give you a hard time. You don't have to associate with them or come into contact with them if you don't want. That's what being an adult is all about. And but for some reason, people have still decided to be a schoolyard bully. I used to be a bully of sorts, very verbally abusive, and have somewhat of a forked tongue. Kind of decided to give that kind of crap up, but it hurt a lot of people along the way before I realized that what I was doing was wrong. You know, and I hope maybe I'll be forgiven in time. Other than that, the phone lines are now open, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, the number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. One thing that I did want to announce and possibly repeat today is that we're having a New Zealand chemtrail action at the Aotea Square in Auckland City Central, just on Queen Street there. In a little under 3 hours, local New Zealand time. If you're listening to this live, you need to get down there at 2 o'clock local time. I'm going to read out. It's on, the details are on guerrillamedia.co.nz, or co.nz for those of you in New Zealand. Invite anybody that you know who's in New Zealand to come down to this protest. Okay? I've been in contact with G. Edward Griffin. He's chucked us a couple of few DVDs and some Freedom Force merchandise and cards and whatnot. And good man down in Welly from New Zealand 9/11 Truth has sent us up a 100 copies of G. Edward Griffin and Michael Murphy's film, What in the World Are They Spraying? And Penny Bright, what I'd consider to be one of the hardest working activists in the game, is knocking us up, as she does, two freaking gargantuan banners. And we're going to have them there. And I've got two big military outfits as well, full body camo, with some very scary looking paintball masks. You know, I don't have gas masks or something. I'll have them if I've got them. You know, shock value, people, shock. Plus, it's going to be real funny because because it'll be me with a megaphone. How could that be unfunny? Because when you have a megaphone, yeah, the mood just kind of takes you. Not like a kind of Dr. Charlie Veach sort of thing. And anyway, people are invited down, and the whole chemtrail issue, for those of you who don't understand it, seems to be one of the most important issues of our time. And this is kind of like bar none. There's lots and lots of conspiracies when it comes to the general comings and goings and the running of the world and so forth. Lots. I can assure ye. However, none of them have quite as poignant effect on the food supply, potentially, as these chemtrails. Not to mention, there's an awful lot of illness associated with them. Have you heard of Morgellons disease? I really do have to take the liberty here and inform you a little bit about is it Morgellons disease or something like that. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, there's these small elastic strandy type fibers that are being found in people's frickin' throats. And it's like going all up to Wizzle. And wait for this. They've actually zoomed in on these little strips that are permeated so that cells go inside them and they start filling them up and then they start expanding in underneath your skin. They had a look at these little strips under the microscope, and they have biotech company brand labeling on them. Nanotechnology. That is what is being sprayed allegedly in this video that I saw. And I don't know about you, but it wouldn't surprise me. Again, but the problem is I'm not quite so much of a research type person. I suppose a little bit frustrating, I guess, because often I don't know precisely what I'm talking about. Okay, and that's why I never claim to have any credibility, because I could be wrong. Okay. If it's really of consequence to you to know something, to really, really know it, usually the good answer is to watch a couple of documentaries and or read a few books or do some Google searching or all of the above. I mean, it depends how deep a knowledge base you want to have for any particular subject. Is that the most compelling subject for you? For me, the thing that compels me is the listenership and all the people out there that work frickin' damn hard all day, every day, and get their currency undermined by foreign banks, and the media doesn't report on it. So somebody has to, And there's no frickin' apparatus so people can report on it. At least not in my country, not really. Not across the whole country, and not yet. And I plan to make sure that that frickin' happens. You know, case in point. The search and surveillance bill. Ultimately, the Patriot Act 2 on steroids. Just remember, the Patriot Act 2 was the Patriot Act on steroids. And so the search and surveillance bill is the Patriot Act 2 on steroids. That's what's happening here in New Zealand. Okay, no civil liberties, no rights, not even so much as a right to frickin' silence and tap you and surveil you for 3 days without any judge's warrants or whatsoever. No records, no documentation, no oversight, nothing. You will have the total reign of any psychopath in a uniform. You will be their slaves. That's the frickin' future. And the media's not telling you that. The media's telling you all these dangerous terrorists are a threat to our national security. I'll tell you what's a threat to national security. Foreign banking interests controlling your economic policy. That's a threat to your frickin' national security. Because if there's anything that's sure-fired to increase poverty, crime, and general chaos in the society, it's a foreign banking cartel. The public does not know this. Why don't they know it? It's all admitted. Oh, but it's not on the front page. And it's not repeated in the morning news. Or the midday news. Or the afternoon news. Or the evening news. Or late night news. It's not repeated over and over and over again. Like the stories of the singular child that got cleaved in half in a car accident by a drunk driver. How horrific. How terrible. One person dies. And that mother lost her child. And no parent should ever have to bury their child. Isn't it sad? But it's not done in a way that really shows respect to it. It's done in a 30-second flash segment with a few choice sound bites from police and emergency staff who say, "Yeah, and we tried to get him out, and it's very unfortunate." And you know, of what consequence is the singular death of to the country? And they try to extrapolate small instances and turn them into big problems. Now, they call us conspiracy theorists. Here's a conspiracy theory for you. The most dangerous thing on New Zealand roads is drug drivers. And I say, no. The most dangerous thing on New Zealand roads are police officers. Do you have any idea how dangerous police officers can be? Apparently, in some places, you know, the police will pull you over, they'll pretend that they smell some weed and just search you anyway, and if they find it, they take it, and then they give you a speeding ticket and then let you go. Don't take it into evidence or anything. And when they're rolling their cigarette on the side of the road, they find out that there's cardboard roaches and taken out of their packet of papers. Okay? This stuff happens all the time. The police practically run crime in this country. In fact, funnily enough, They indeed refer to themselves as the biggest gang in New Zealand. Riddle me that one. Filthy scumbags. Oh, yeah. It's a problem, man. These people are supposed to be there in that position of trust, and most of them there are trying to help their community. You know, they want to do the right thing. But the whole point is missed entirely. The second they put on that vest, that cap with the Masonic black and white checker around it, as soon as they got on that little blue uniform, they're not themselves anymore. They're a police officer. And you go over and have a look at what an officer is. You know, ever heard of a CEO, chief executive officer, who representatives for a company? Okay. And they're just a company that goes around and treats you as its stock. Right? Just like a farmer will go around, grab a cow, drag it into a milking shed, suck all the milk out of its teats, and on sell it, so does a police snatch a person, pull them over, pull them to the side, extract some money out of them, and send them on their way. It's no different, in my opinion. Treated like absolute cattle. And I have probably more dealings with police, where the police officers have been the ones to start being rude, than any time that I've ever been rude. I had police come up and just... I was just filming somebody being arrested, you know. They got her down on the ground, you know. I'm keeping a little bit of a distance from them. Guy comes right up and just shoves me, you know, right on the shoulder. I didn't even see him coming. He's concentrating on the camera. Just rude. What a swizzle swangling swine. You know? I mean, I don't want to incite violence against the police. The police incite violence against the police, man. You know, call, pay the piper, call the tune. Most of the police violence, half of them frickin' deserve it. Because they've been mean to people all the time. It's not that people have broken any laws or that they've been trying to hurt people. It's that the police have been trained to do this to people. It's what the profession is about. It's their job to do that to you. And it doesn't mean that the policeman is a bad person. It means that when he's got that uniform on, he's a psychopath in the employ of the state. He's not getting paid to give an F about you. He's getting paid to lie to you, to tell you that that they'll go easy on you if you tell them the truth. What that, and you translate that sentence, it means if you tell me the truth, it's going to be really easy for me to get a hell of a lot of money out of you and make your life a hellhole for some period of time. You know, that's the truth of it. Police are literally trained to lie. It's the only way, in their mind, that they can bust people. It's like, no, man. If everybody was just honest and amicable, you wouldn't have any frickin' disputes. You wouldn't need to lie to people. What the hell is a speeding ticket? Show me a frickin' victim. There's not one. The whole world is watching the news every night. Seeing these statistics about drunk drivers and speeding and all of that kind of stuff. I don't do that, but I understand that somebody shouldn't have to go to jail for it unless they've hurt somebody, killed somebody, or driving very dangerously drunk or something. You know, unless it's frickin' obviously putting people in danger. Like these kind of checkpoint operations where it's everybody's treated as an instant criminal. If that. In a responsible community, anybody who's swerving all over the road or getting themselves into trouble, somebody's going to be on their cell phone to the cops in a second and say, look at this guy's license plate, Z15673 or 5 or whatever. Okay? Get that guy the F off the road. That's what a responsible citizen does. They get the police when they're needed. The police don't impose themselves when it's unnecessary. Okay? Somebody's putting other people in danger. That's what a policeman's for. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And just have you know, all of you are now being monitored by the intelligence agencies. They know where you are. And they'll be coming for you. But they may not get there before the end of this break. We'll be right back.
But I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles. But I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us.
open sizes. Right and left are symmetrical on the puppet master's tentacles. The two sides are identical. The troops are not ejectable. Performing a prodigy and making the Jordan come out of me. It's like recording Nostradamus, taking a tour in the prophecy. The real American gangsters make the poor live in poverty. With the corporate dictatorship in a foreign economy. Give to the orphans on TV, cause a good portion of a lot of these.
Welcome back.
In the name of a corporate monopoly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's about boogieing it down in the Schwarzenegger sense of Zivert. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Phone lines are open. What are you doing this weekend? Are you taking part in the global chemtrail action that's happening on the 17th of this month? We're doing it here today because we're broadcasting live from the future. It's already the 16th, so, you know, by the time you guys have done it, pretty much be the same time. Who knows? Standing up all day every day is the responsibility of everybody who's got legs. As far as I'm concerned, there's very little time to be spent thinking about things. As it is. The problem is, and I was saying this to somebody the other night, that if you want to do something great in life, thinking about it ain't going to cut it. You have to do something about it. All right? And you have to actually want to do something. And there are all sorts of little steps that you can take to getting what you want. If you have a big end game, you've got to make sure that all the little parts of your plan go through processes. Right? There's no point sitting at home and planning your entire life. Because how would you know to plan anything if you ain't got no experience? You know, I don't care about experience or people's ranks or PhDs or things to a certain extent, you know? What matters to me really is what people really do with the talents and the gifts and the resources that they've got. You know, do they donate it to something that's a good and worthy and noble effort? Do they lend credibility to topics which people should pay more attention to? You've got to ask these questions of yourself. And me personally, I see myself as the bad guy because if you don't think of yourself as the bad guy, you'll probably wind up becoming one. You know, you'll be able to justify any evil in the name of doing the right thing. That's what I reckon. That's what all these collectivists have got everybody brainwashed into doing, that, you know, you need to sacrifice the individual for the good of everybody else. And it's like, well, mate, if you bring yourself to the point of sacrificing the individual, you're effectively sacrificing everybody else, because there's no such thing as an everybody. There are only individuals. Okay? One size does not freaking fit all. I'm sorry. And so many people just want to live in this this uniform society. No, I don't think so. I think society needs to be a lot more local, and people need to have stronger communities first. Then you can think about a stronger county, a stronger stronger state. A stronger sovereign republic of some description. Who knows? But again, it all boils down. Yeah? It actually does boil down, because right at the bottom, there's you, and there is this literal rift in the frickin' time-space continuum opening up in front of you. Every day. You could do anything. Like, I get to get up in the morning and I get to do a show with frickin' Stuart and Janet Swerdlow. That's freaking awesome. I wasn't doing that 2 years ago. I was on the street in Auckland filming protests against Israel and protests against climate change, just so I could go and ambush the climate changers, of course. And meeting up with people in 9/11 Truth here in New Zealand. And sure enough, as soon as you start looking, I'm not sure if this is true of everywhere, but as soon as you start looking, you do start finding people like you. You know, you can search on criteria. Facebook, for example. A lot of people bag Facebook, and yes, I know that it's controlled by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is also, incidentally, one of the prime institutes that winds up enslaving people and operating command and control warfare projects. I understand that, which is why they facilitated Facebook in the first place, so they could frickin' spy on everybody. If I say to somebody, right, that somebody is watching you and listening to you right now at this very moment, what would you say? Would you say I was crazy? Would you? Because I know for a fact that every single cell phone has a microphone on it. And I'm not being paranoid here. This is all outlined in official documents. You know, it's public knowledge. Everybody's microphones and cameras, it was on your cell phones or your computers or whatever, even when they're switched off, as long as they got power, they can be tapped into. And supposedly under Project Echelon, everybody's being spied on 24/7. And all the data is being scanned and in real time. In fact, the amount of data storage that you need to do this to the entire planet is gargantuan. In fact, supposedly, there've been rolling blackouts in the United States because all of these massive, massive computers that the government's built underground and stuff like that, supposedly, is sapping the frickin' power grid dry. That's the scale of how much surveillance is going on. Okay? It doesn't matter whether or not you use Facebook. They frickin' gotcha. If you use any form of communication whatsoever, cell phone companies are mandated by law in New Zealand to maintain 1 year's worth of phone records at a minimum for every single new cell phone number that gets created. Okay? They have got you already. But interestingly enough, they've developed all these social networking skills, Facebooking, MySpacing, Skyping, whatever, as weapons of war to enslave people and gather information on them. But what people are actually using it for, and what they're afraid that they're finding out, is that these weapons of war are now being used to create sophisticated anti-New World Order networks of people. Now, bear in mind, Facebook will know everything there is to know about these people. So I wonder, who's really playing who here? Is the truth movement benefiting from social networking? Because it's kind of like a truth crossed with youth is still truth, isn't it? I suppose that there's an advantage, all right? We do get plenty of hits to guerrilla media and YouTube and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com linked through Facebook, a significant proportion. So does the ability to get the information out there using these surveillance created networks, is that actually of benefit? Because if you're not getting your message out there, to any great degree, you're lessening your ability to have an impact. That's, at least that's my take on it. Anybody who refuses an ability to make an impact is basically just denying themselves. And I don't deny myself anything, you know. And I believe that there's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion. And the whole idea of this show is to just, well, basically shamelessly promote all the people that come on it to a degree. You know, I don't. I was wondering, you know, whether or not I should bring on people who disagree, like, for example, a climate cultist of some description. And I'm not sure if I should, because quite frankly, I have, if you want climate cultist propaganda, there is more than enough out there. But if you want some real truthers, both big and little, real people and successful people, and all of that kind of stuff, you come right here to the Vinnie Eastwood Show 5 days a week, and we'll have a guest on for you. It's pretty fantastic. And even if we don't have a guest, I can ad-lib not too terribly, as I'm doing right now, because unfortunately Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz don't appear to have come on. We don't know what's happened to them, actually. I didn't hear from them last week. Perhaps the Vatican has finally assassinated them. I'm sure it'll be fine. Don't worry about it, they say. There's no conspiracy, they say. Well, I'm wondering if people are willing to deny the possibility of any form of conspiracy, which a lot of people do. What kind of defense mechanism do they have against one? Zippo. But then again, some people, they try to move in this world in a very defensive manner, you know, moving from rock to rock rather than just running on the beach. I suppose there's elements that are survivalist about them. Do you think survivalism sounds a bit too gung-ho? Has it been demonized in the media just enough so that it has that kind of, oh my God, those people are trapped away in the woods somewhere with like 40,000 tons of dried food and water supplies and 7,000 firearms, blah, 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 blah. You know, is that the kind of connotation that comes up when you hear the word survivalist? You know, some guy that got solar power and a Geiger counter built into his kitchen, you know. I suppose, you know, it's funny to think of it like that, man. Anyway, 402-237-2525 is the number to call in. Or if you've been a guest on the show and you're on the Skype list or whatever and you want to give us a bell or something, you know, come on and give me a Skype request and we'll bring you on the show. Why the F not? You know, got anything to say? Show's basically just a platform for other people, as I've turned out. Turns out, I'm an opinion slut. Is it, you know, no, don't laugh. No, I'm serious about this. I love opinions all up inside me. never mind. Because you know, I just find the variation. You know, I'm not so much of a facts and figures and details man. I'm more of a general kind of feel man. And what people tell you their opinion is, even if their opinion is right or wrong, tells you a lot about them. Okay, you can tell that for example, a Republican is very wrong when he talks about the next fabulous election campaign. But you understand a certain thing about him, that he loves his country, as it turns out. So that's an honorable thing, to love one's country. Patriotism, not bad in my eyes. I suppose there's a lot of people who kill and die for it, and a lot of which is manipulated by foreign bankers who own both sides of the war anyway. So that's why you need to distinguish patriotism from frickin' globalism. Because that's what a lot of these candidates all over the place represent. The silk glove of New World Order communism. Oh, and it's so soft and smooth. And it says nice things to you. And it tells you it's going to take care of you. And that it's looking after your security. And then it puts you in fisticuffs. And gropes you up. And then irradiates you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Welcome back.
JFK.
Oh, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Like it's down in Libya. Oh, depleted uranium. Somehow, the lighter side of genocide just doesn't cut it. You know, I mean, you get moments where the compound knowledge of knowing all these things that are going on in the world right now, and these terrible, nasty genocidal campaigns, contaminations going everywhere, war, etc., disease, mostly manufactured. And it kind of, I'm not sure what it does, short of paralysis. It's almost like it makes you want to procrastinate. You know, I mean, I can't deal with this right now. I've got to do it some other time. And I've had climate cultists say the exact same thing. I was at a climate change protest, questioning them about ClimateGate emails, and she says this is not the proper place to discuss climate change. You know, it just gets to me. There's this kind of cop-out mentality. When your beliefs are challenged, I believe in the surrender mentality. Now, let me explain what I mean. If you've got a belief that gets offended and inflamed by what somebody says, try and surrender yourself to their mode of thinking for a moment. You know, what would motivate somebody to think in such a way? And if it turns out that it's from a real good place, then you might find out that the concept ain't that bad or half-cocked after all. Or, if you look at it more closely, you realize that this person's freaking out of their mind. Like National Party supporters, for example. Man, these people are crazy. And Labour Party supporters, freaking nuts. Green Party supporters, insane. ACT Party supporters, diabolical. Maori Party supporters, unbelievably naive. Peter Dunn supporters, just plain blind and foolish. Jim Anderton supporters, depressed, psychologically unhinged people. Have I left anybody out? let me just paraphrase. If I've left any political party out there, there's no freaking point. Voting for you is crazy. Okay? The entire system is rigged. You already know it is. Some of you who have got your political parties already know about the New World Order, and I'll certainly do a heck of a lot of political coverage this election, to be sure. And I'll get all of these people on here because nobody else will give any of the minor parties any type of platform to speak on, pretty much. You know, that's what I'm going to do. But just bear in mind that during this entire election campaign, my thoughts are that there's not going to be any real change at all out of any kind of election. It's all a freaking rigged game. And it's not possible for anybody to make enough of a difference in Parliament alone. Okay, it's a tiny, almost infinitesimal difference between who governs you in each election cycle. It's infinitesimal. There's patently no difference. Seriously, if Al Gore had won the election in 2000... America would be a communist police state, but instead it got George Bush and they turned it into a fascist police state. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. The whole thing is rigged. I can't believe people can't see it. It frustrates the living bejesus out of me. It's unbelievable. It's like a sidewinder to the temple. Honestly, you get these kind of people who are responding with these ad hominem arguments and saying that, oh, well, you know, it's better, you know, we would have been speaking German if you had your way, blah, blah, blah. It's like, for F's sake, bro, we'd be speaking German or English or anything anyway. It doesn't freaking matter. The same chessboard players control all the freaking pieces on the board, okay? This whole world is a game of Risk, and believe me, the people have been playing this game of Risk for a very long time. There is no risk involved anymore because they have conquered the world, okay? There are no standing armies that exist to fight against them. No standing armies of any kind. All right, there's plenty of trained people out there who are trained to kill, trained in psych warfare, who could certainly do some damage to these New World Order clowns, the people who are sitting in their newsrooms, people who are listening to this very call for the intelligence agencies and the FBI and whatnot. It is not feasible to have any kind of military uprising, you know, without being completely wiped out by their police state measures, okay? They've thought of that one. Guerrilla warfare, on the other hand, that can work. However, as the Vietnamese found out, it always winds up being an incredibly long and bloody struggle. And in my opinion, war should be avoided at absolutely all costs. But we're already at war, and they're going to take everything from us anyway. So it's an interesting paradox there. It's just not a shooting war at this point. I really hope that it doesn't come to that, man. Seriously. I don't want to see freaking people bleeding to death and dying in the streets of hunger or bullet wounds. I don't want to be like in Bahrain or whatever, where they're emptying machine guns into the crowds. Okay? That kind of stuff, nah. I really don't want to see that happening anywhere. And I sure as heck hope it doesn't come here, which is why I'm doing all this. You know, the only way that you can expose these types of people to any great degree is through all these digital mediums, through all the social networking, okay? More people need to be listening to this show. Tell your friends, tell your family. Send people links, DVDs, that kind of thing. If you can't express something better than some of the people and guests that we have on the show, then don't try to, you know? I never tried to express something more than I could grasp myself, and I don't expect anybody else to. It's kind of like the concept of respect. Some people think that they can come right at you and call your name and disrespect you, and that when you insult them back, they feel incensed and inflamed, and they feel offended. And I say, well, mate, you violated your right to be respected when you came out and frickin' insulted me. I'm sorry, okay? You may as well have slapped me in the face with a glove and challenged me to a duel. It's on. I don't want to fight, mate, but if you want to start something, okay, I'm either going to be walking away or you won't be walking at all. You know, because you'd be too busy crying after I insult your mother or something. You know? I mean, come on. Sit down, son. There's no fight here unless you want to start something. Okay? I don't start fights. I really don't like to. Because, quite frankly, it bowls a whole lot of negativity around. And the majority of people, when they want to start something with me, I'm just like, nah, man, I'm out of here. Eh? I'm just going to walk away. And it happens sometimes. You know, somebody will just hate me for some reason, you know, just randomly. Just because I'm holding a camera in one incident. He said, if your camera. Of course, I can't say what he actually said, but you get the idea. And I was like, well, mate, do you want to leave the bus here? And he's like, no, mate, I'm perfectly comfortable. And I say, okay, well, I'm leaving then. And I took my camera and I left. All right? Avoiding unnecessary confrontation. If somebody's going to get violent or whatever, sheepers, creepers, mate, get out of the line of fire. But then again, you got to realize that if somebody really comes up and attacks you, you have to be prepared to defend yourself. And that applies both to somebody just attacking you crazily on the street, as has happened to me walking home at 5:20 in the morning or something like that, just as the sun's rising in Auckland City, walking home from a hard night of partying and whatnot. And I feel this presence behind me. And I turn behind me to look. Bam! Smacked in the face, and I was down on the ground. This big Islander fella had been, like, following me down the street, and there's a pack of boys up the road from me. And I was just like, what the hell happened there? Where did that come from? I picked myself up, and I walked away. Not made of glass. You can take a hit. Don't be afraid. Might be a little confusing, but hey, you're surviving, aren't you? As long as you keep on surviving, it'll all be good. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Love you very much. And I hope you tune in again sometime. Check out our videos, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, and the Vinnie Eastwood Show are the YouTube channels. And check us out on Facebook. We'll be right back next week, ladies and gentlemen.